Good morning. I hope your week is going well so far. I'm guessing last week may have been a little disappointing for one reason or another. Maybe the election didn't go as you'd hoped. For some of us, that's quite an understatement, probably. Maybe the snow arrived too soon. I know some might have that in mind. Although for Jackie and me, we're kind of winter people, so for us it just gives us permission to start listening to Christmas music. Whatever else it may be, maybe didn't quite meet expectations. But you know, that's actually pretty normal, isn't it? As we heard last week, Jesus promised us that we'd have trouble in this life. He promised us that we'd have trouble in this life. He didn't just say maybe. He said, it will happen. You will have trouble. Trouble-free days are the exception, not the rule. And they should be appreciated when we have them, but they shouldn't be allowed to drive our expectations. We shouldn't be surprised when things don't go the way we'd like. But thankfully, our hope rests in Christ, not in elections, not in weather forecasts, really not in anything else. Because of Christ, we have hope no matter what. And we need to be thankful for that. Make sure my remote is working today. Let's see. Hey, there we go. So how did things go with praying for the persecuted Christians around the world over this past week? You know, their experiences can go a long way toward adjusting our own expectations for life and our appreciation for what the Lord has provided for us here in Roseau. When we realize what other Christians go through around the world, we realize how nice we have it. It's really pretty amazing, the freedom we have and how much we should appreciate that freedom. Did you know that India has been a democracy now since 1950. For 72 years, India has been a democracy, not nearly as long as the United States, but already, do you know what's happening in India? There's the persecution of the roughly 50 million Christians in India, which is only about 5% of their population, is ramping up quickly. Their prime minister has a soft heart toward Hindu nationalist organizations that are putting very significant pressure on Christians around the country. Many rural Christians have never even had access to a Bible. This is in India in 2022, in a 72-year-old democracy. You know, we need to pray for them and be thankful for the freedoms that we have. We are truly blessed. There are still some of the prayer guides sitting out in the narthex, and also some of the bookmarks. If you'd like to grab some extras for yourself, other family members, friends, others who might appreciate those, it'd be good to get those in people's hands so that we can be consistently praying for the folks in here. India is on page 31, by the way. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask that you would be here in a powerful way this morning, that you're always here in a powerful way, Lord, but make us aware of it. Lord, make us aware of your presence. Help us to be sensitive. And maybe more than anything else, help us to get out of the way. Help us to get out of the way and allow you to do what it is you want to do. Father, speak to us through your word and by your spirit. Help us to listen, hear, understand, believe, and obey. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd encourage you, as we move into the sermon, I'd encourage you to grab a pen or a pencil and the insert out of the bulletin. You'll find the scriptures on one side and some notes on the other, and plenty of room to add your own notes. Jonathan's prayer request is actually a very good introduction to exactly what it is that we'll be talking about today. If you watch the TV news or listen to it on the radio or find it online, anywhere you go, it's definitely clear that it's hard to find a source of information that's reliably true. Truth is becoming rare in the world around us. And truth is so critical. Whether it's about current events, about our history, most importantly, about our faith. Nothing is more important than the truth, because without the truth, we can't be set free. Without the truth, we don't know what to believe or do about anything else. Truth is critical. Truth, in fact, is the foundation of our faith. Truth is the foundation of our faith. You know, God is a God of truth. In fact, it can be said that all truth is God's truth. And the reason why that is because truth conforms to reality. Right? Truth conforms to reality. And reality is the standard that we use to determine what's true. When someone claims something is true, how do we know if it is? We compare it to what we know about reality. Reality is what's real around us, right? Anyone who claims something is true and that truth doesn't conform to the reality we know around us is not telling us the truth. If I take you all out in the parking lot and I say, isn't it wonderful, what a wonderful day we have? 75 degrees and sunny. Isn't it nice that we could be worshiping out here in the parking lot? I think many of you would probably question where my head is at. What is he talking about? That's obviously not true. How do you know? Because you're comparing what I'm saying to what's the reality around you. We have the ability to discern what's true. God equips us to do that, but we have to actively pursue it. Now, when it comes to the news, how do we find a reliable source of news? Who has the time to research all the details of everything out there going on in the world? How could we really know? I can tell you, I don't have a perfect answer for that by any means. But when it comes to our faith, we have a significantly easier time determining what's true because we have a reliable standard. We have a reliable standard that we thankfully have access to. We're not like the believers in rural India who don't even have a Bible. We have the truth. We need to compare the world around us to that truth. And we need to compare what other people tell us to that truth. If you remember, Paul praised the Bereans for what? He praised them for going back to the Word and confirming whether what he said was true. So we have the truth. We need to allow that truth to be the foundation of our faith. In fact, our commission as believers is to deliver that truth to others. So we need to know what that truth is before we can deliver it to anyone else. And along with what Jonathan was saying earlier, who are the people we're called to deliver that truth to? They're the ones who don't already have it. They're the ones who are being deceived. Right? Truth needs to be delivered to the people who are being deceived. And let me ask you this. How do you know when you're being deceived? You don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be deceived. That's how it works, right? When we're deceived, we don't know it. We need some kind of intervention to help us realize something is not right about what we're believing when we're deceived. We need to have an objective standard that we trust to reflect the truth. And the way we know we're being deceived is we compare what we're hearing to what we know is true. We can't rely on other people to spoon-feed us the truth. I've seen trends at times in around the church, around the world, wanting to rely on the church to deliver the truth. Every individual wants to be spoon-fed. Obviously, the church is responsible for delivering truth, but we're also responsible for digging it out of the Word ourselves. We need to be in God's Word, seeking His truth. We need to develop that discernment that He's given us. He's given us the Spirit to guide us. Now, with all of that in mind, I want to ask you a quiz. I'm going to ask you a quick question. Here's the quiz of the morning. What's this? What is that? What is it? Yes, a plumb bob. Has anybody ever used a plumb bob before? Here's how it works. You take a plumb bob and it hangs from a string and you just hang it down. Now you notice right now it's kind of wiggling a little, right? It takes a little time for that to stop moving. When that stops moving, do you know what it tells me? It tells me the truth. It tells me which way down is. Oh, that's good. That's handy to know, right? Yes, it is. Because down defines vertical. And vertical is good for a lot of things. When you're building a house, is it important that the walls are what we call true to plumb? Absolutely. If you build walls that are not true to plumb, you're going to have all kinds of problems, right? Being true to plumb is being conformed to the truth. And where does the truth get defined? It gets defined right there. Gravity is a gift of God that says, I can tell you where down is, and the plumb bob shows us, right? A plumb bob defines the truth of what down is. It sets a standard for us to compare everything else to. If I want to know if a wall is vertical, I can use a plumb bob. What do? I compare the angle of the wall to the angle of the plumb bob, and if they're perfectly parallel, that wall is plumb. We need objective standards in the world in order to know what's true. And you know what? Even if we choose not to believe it, it's still true. I don't exactly remember where it was. I think it might have been at Deertown in Park Rapids, but I'm not sure. When I was a little kid, my parents took me to somewhere that had this really weird little building. You'd walk in, and it had all kinds of different things in there that would have water looking like it was running uphill, and things, you know, things that would seem like they were rolling uphill, all these kind of optical illusions that were all based on the fact the building was specifically designed not to be plumb and level and square and all the things we normally expect. And when you were standing in that building, you would swear that water was running uphill. Things were rolling uphill. They were doing things that you know they can't do. Now, if I had a plumb bob with me and I knew what I was doing, I could have proved why the things looked the way they did. We were being intentionally and humorously deceived by a building that was not conforming to reality, wasn't conforming to what's true. So even if we choose not to believe it, the truth is still the truth. Truth is impartial. Truth is not based on feelings, preferences, opinions, circumstances. It's not based on the preconceived agenda that I want to convince you is true. It's not based on my preferred narrative of what I want you to believe. Truth conforms to reality. A plumb bob tells the truth. It doesn't share opinions. It doesn't have an agenda. It's an objective standard, and we use that objective standard to evaluate everything else. Truth is objective. You know, the world around us disagrees with the idea that objective truth even exists. The world around us says, I have my truth, you have your truth, right? You may have heard that before. I remember hearing that one time. I can promise you I'm not a frequent listener of Oprah. But I distinctly remember her once talking about, well, my Jesus this and my Jesus that. And whatever she defined as her Jesus was very different than the Jesus of the Bible. It doesn't work that way. Truth is truth, and false is false. The world around us disagrees, but that's why we're called to share the truth. The world around us is deceived. We need to get past feelings and opinions and focus on the truth. One of the primary reasons why the world is so deceived is, is deception. To the Jews who wanted to kill Jesus, he said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, but there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Even if we have a sincere desire to know the objective truth, our pursuit of it is always opposed by our enemy. And there's always influences that can draw things out of plumb, right? So if Satan has ways of making things look a little different, does that change the truth? No. The truth is still true. And if it's difficult to tell where things are at because things are doing this, it doesn't change the truth. The truth is still the truth, even if it's hard to tell sometimes. We all get confused at times, but we just need to go back to what we know. When this stops moving, it points down. It tells me the truth. When we forget the truth, we can easily be deceived. And as I said, how do you know when you're deceived? You don't. You have to intentionally turn back to what you know is true and compare what you're believing to see if they're the same. You know, deception's a primary weapon of Satan, and truth is the antidote. How many of you speak another language other than English? Anybody? I know Jonathan, he speaks like German and Swahili and stuff, right? Oh, maybe it's something else. Swedish, French, and okay. And they're handy in your job, too, I bet. But do you ever dream in those languages, or do you really? Oh, my goodness. You are deeply entrenched in that stuff. Oh, my goodness. That's kind of a test of whether somebody's really fluent in a language is if they dream in those languages. So you're there. Good to know. But I'm glad you're not in the same native language as Satan, because Satan's native language is lying. If you think about it that way, your native language comes naturally because it's your default. Even if you learn other languages, you generally have a preference for your native language. Satan is so immersed in lying, that's his native language. He would have to intentionally choose not to lie in order to avoid it. It's the way he is. It's his nature. Satan is a liar by default. And he uses deception very effectively to tear apart the world around us, our nation, our communities, sometimes even our churches and families. We need to seek the truth, know the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, and share the truth with other people. We need to do what we can to counteract the flood of deceptions around us. For example, with false teachers, I think my remote's getting tired. Oh, I'm hitting the wrong button. That might have something to do with it. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Now, do you notice that in this verse, this is not about false teachers who are taking the truth and just twisting it a little bit. This is about false teachers who are totally ignoring the truth, and you know where they're starting? They're going and looking at the people they want to target and say, what do they want to hear? That's what I'm going to tell them. Doesn't that sound sadly like a lot of political commercials? And other things that we hear around us all the time in this world? I'm not just going to twist the truth a little bit. I'm going to go directly to what you want to hear. I'm going to give you what you want, whether it makes any sense at all or not. I'm going to forgive you these loans. I'm going to give you all this money. I'm going to prevent you from having any needs at all. You can rely on me to take care of everything you need. Never mind God. There's a lot of deception out there, and false teachers don't have to just twist the truth. They can flat out go directly to the lies. Their own version of reality and truth conforms to their preferences, feelings, etc., avoiding their need to change. Potentially, their targets need to change anything at all. What do we want to hear? We want to hear things that make us comfortable. I don't want to have to change. I don't want to have to grow. I don't want to have to adjust to conform to reality. I don't want to have to line up with the plumb bob. I want to just be who I am. That's deception. And it was true in the early church, too. To the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Some things that we believe are somewhat negotiable, others are not. This is an example of one that is not. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is an example of an essential that is non-negotiable. If the resurrection is not true, then our faith is entirely meaningless. And Paul didn't mince words about it. Now, most of the doctrines that we consider to be non-negotiable are found here in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed represents the basics. It represents the core doctrines that define what an orthodox, with a small o, right? An orthodox, in other words, conforming to the truth, Christian church believes. In his book called The Apostles' Creed, Discovering Authentic Christianity in an Age of Counterfeits, Albert Mohler says that all Christians believe more than is contained in the Apostles' Creed, but none can believe less. All Christian churches believe more than we find here, but none can believe less. If a church disagrees with something in the Apostles' Creed, now there's a little bit of interpretation and a couple of things, but if a church doesn't affirm the Apostles' Creed, they're not a Christian church. You know, in Grand Forks, there's a church that teaches that it's a Pentecostal church that teaches that there really is no Father or Holy Spirit. It's all Jesus. It's what's called a oneness church. And I know somebody who got wrapped up with somebody in that church. Are they a Christian church? Oh, they certainly claim to be, but so do Mormons. They claim to be just another evangelical church. How do we know? We look at the truth and we compare what's being told and we compare it to what's true. This is the truth. The Apostles' Creed contains the basics of the truth. If we deny that, if we deny the Trinity, for example, we're not a Christian church. This creed and others, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, are accepted by Orthodox Christian churches. They're the truths that we're to live by, defend, and declare. You know, in order to contradict those and counteract those effects, we need to be light. We need to be light that is able to shed light in the darkness. Do you know that light is a thing and darkness is not? Here's what I mean by that. Light has to do with either waves or particles, depending on what your perspective is on quantum mechanics. But it's a thing. It exists. And you can say there's light there and there's not light there. Do you know what darkness is? Darkness isn't a thing. It doesn't really exist. Darkness is a lack of light. Darkness is anywhere light isn't, right? Because of that, darkness can never overcome light. Light can always overcome darkness. Have you ever been in a totally dark space before? Like down in a cave or a salt mine or, you know, I mean, I've only gotten to do it two or three times in my life. But when you're in a place where there literally is zero light, none whatsoever, it's amazing how dark it is. It's a darkness like you've never seen before. But what's also amazing is you let your eyes adjust to it enough, you still can't see a thing. And then someone lights a match, and it's like the sun just rose. A little bit of light overcomes darkness. It doesn't take a lot. Because light is a thing. God calls us to be a thing. He calls us to be light. Right? We're meant to overcome darkness. It happens because if we're light, it happens. We will overcome darkness. Because it's true, darkness can overcome, never overcome light. Light is truth. Truth is light-giving, I should say. Truth is light-giving. And one way we can share that light is through our own, is through our own transparency. To Nicodemus, Jesus said, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Do you know that Nicodemus, when it was during the day that Nicodemus came to visit Jesus? Does anybody remember? It was at night. Because he was afraid what the other Pharisees would think of him going to this radical teacher who was teaching things that didn't align with what they believed their plumb bob was saying. The reality was they were the ones that were not aligned with the truth. He was perfectly aligned with the truth. He went at night because he wasn't comfortable with what they might think about him going to see him. We're called to be light. It's our calling, and transparency is quite a bit of that. Truth is transparent. A critical part of our transparency is also leading by example. One thing is this. How we relate to God's word and relate to God in prayer. This little 5-point outline is really helpful. If we want to hear from God, we need to listen. And if we want to understand what God's saying, we need to hear from him. If we want to believe what's true, we often need to be able to understand it, but that's not always necessarily true. Understanding is sometimes optional. Sometimes we just have to believe God because he said so, knowing that he's always true. And if we want to obey, we need to believe. People can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Have you ever seen that happen? Nothing of spiritual value really is accomplished unless we believe first. If we believe, then we can obey in a spiritually relevant way. If we just go through the motions and do something without actually believing it, there's not much going on there spiritually. We need to listen, hear, understand, believe, and obey. And we need to remember that we're called to a rescue mission. Jesus' half-brother James said, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." The truth matters, and it has eternal consequences. For those who believe the truth, it has powerfully positive consequences. For those who continue to be deceived, amazingly negative consequences. And we're called to point the way from darkness to light. To Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Who did Jesus die for? All people. Who is it we're called to reach? All people. There's no one on the planet that we can't validly say, Jesus died for your sins. If you'll believe, you can be forgiven. Every person on the planet. That's a lot of people. We've got a big mission. Knowledge of the truth is essential. But that truth is a little hard to miss. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. That's the plumb bob. Jesus is the truth, and that's the truth we're called to deliver. To the Jews, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is really our mission. And according to Paul, the truth is just as critical to our growth. We've read this before in Ephesians 4. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We can't be and do what God calls us to unless we're willing to stand for the truth and resist deception. Truth leads to maturity. It's a key to maturity. And to do that, we need to use God's word as he intends. And we'll dive into that next week. So truth conforms to reality. Oh, I'm falling behind. Truth conforms to reality. Truth is objective. Truth is light-giving. Truth is transparent. Truth is our mission. And truth leads to maturity. So truth is the foundation of our faith. In a world that seems to devalue or even deny the existence of truth, we as believers need to be even more committed to seeking, teaching, and consistently living the truth. Please pray with me. Father God, you know that we live in a world that's just saturated with lies, saturated with what's false, with partial truths and outright lies. We just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to see clearly the truth of your word as the plumb bob of our lives, that we would compare everything we see and hear with your truth and be willing to stand for that truth and be willing to help others to see it. Lord, we just ask that you'd go with us today and be at work in us by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So please turn in your hymnal to number 543, What a Fellowship.